Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And then chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to preach this morning a message entitled Sin and Its Consequences. Now, from the verses that we read, it's obvious that sin, which is the transgression of God's law, carries with it the punishment of spiritual and physical death, separation from God. Now, sin has evolved over the centuries into many forms of wickedness and ungodliness. However, the nature of sin has never changed. All sin has for its foundation rebellion against the laws of God. I've heard people say, it's never been as bad as it is now. That's not true. Men have always been depraved. Ever since the fall of Adam, they have engaged in wickedness. You read your Old Testament. As far back as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, God rained down fire and brimstone for the sin of sodomy and sexual immorality. It was going on way back then. Now, sin is rarely talked about in our day. In fact, you ask most people, no, you can't find any sinners anymore. They all think that, oh, I'm good. I'm perfect. I'm right. And they completely drown out with their mind the truth of the Word of God that says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is sin? Sin is any lack of conformity to God's law in thought, motive, word, or deed. How many people think of sin in those terms? Most people think of sin as the guy that's in prison for killing his mother. I mean, most convicts would think that's the worst sin you could do, is you're in prison for killing your mother. And that's how most people, their frame of reference is about sin. They don't see sin as something that goes on inside. that comes from a heart, from a mind that is in rebellion against God. So sin is not merely what you do. Sin is what you think about. That's contrary to God. Sin is what you lust after, that God says thou shalt not. And yet, we have a world that is consumed with sin, breaking the law of God. Because God is absolutely just and holy and pure. Now listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Because He is infinitely just and holy and pure, every sin, every single sin, think about this now. You can't even count the number of sins you've committed. You don't even know how many times you've rebelled against God in thought, word, or deed in your lifetime. You don't even know a precise timing how many sins you committed just in the last week. Now you think about this statement. Because God is just and holy, infinitely so, every sin that has ever occurred in the universe must be punished by death, which is a separation from the grace and the goodness of God, and to experience the eternal wrath of God, the infinite wrath of God against sin. Now, most people would say, especially in our world where sin is dismissed, nobody deserves that. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Physical death, spiritual death. Separation from God. There are consequences of sin. Because sin is against an infinite God, it requires a punishment of infinite proportions. Sin is always associated with the ravages of death. I'm convinced that most people do not take transgressing God's law, His commands, seriously at all. And I think it's that way because men, over time, have learned to justify their sin to the point where they think they're completely all right. The worst of sinners can be the most self-righteous, when in fact, everybody in this auditorium today, in this church house today, is a sinner. By birth, by choice, and your only hope is in Jesus Christ. Think about that. The only hope you have to be forgiven of your sins is the perfect death. God would not spare His own Son the wrath that He poured out on Him in order to forgive sinners. So He's not going to spare you. If you continue in your sinful ways and you don't repent and you don't believe the gospel and you don't trust Jesus Christ, sin has ultimate consequences. It's always that way. Now this morning, I want to focus specifically on the consequences of sin in human history. It's a pretty broad subject, isn't it? 6,000 years of human history. God created, and I'm just going to give you a little overview today. God created Adam and Eve as good and pure human beings. Say, do you really believe that there was an Adam and an Eve? And that they were in the Garden of Eden? Do you believe that, preacher? I believe it with all of my heart. Jesus Christ confirmed it when He talked about the marriage covenant. He goes in Matthew 19 when He says God made them male and female. He created them. He goes all the way back, Jesus does, recognizing the creation of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Adam was the first man. Eve was the first woman. She was created out of the man. God placed them in the pristine glory of the Garden of Eden. The most perfect, wonderful, beautiful, glorious place on earth. Think of the most beautiful place that you've ever been to, with just gorgeous scenery and beautiful trees and fruit-bearing trees. And man, it was wonderful. Everything was right. Everything was good. And God said to Adam and Eve, I just got two commands for you to follow. Two simple, direct laws or rules for you to follow. First, I want you to tend and keep the Garden of Eden. And you know what? And Adam in his original state was happy to do it. Not a word of complaint from Adam and Eve. They were there, they were in fellowship with God, and they were completely willing and able to do what He said. That was the positive command. The negative command was that they were forbidden to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It said, do not eat that fruit. It's not for you. God even warned them of the consequences for rebellion against that command. He said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That was a promise. That was a warning to Adam and Eve. Now you know the story. You know the account. I don't like to call it a story because it's not a fairy tale. It is, the account is true. Satan deceived Eve. And Eve in turn offered the fruit of the tree to Adam. He willfully determined to sin. Adam willfully sinned against God. It was the second occasion when a created being used their free will. The first occasion was when Satan determined that he was going to usurp the throne of God and knock God off His throne. And God immediately cast him down. Satan incensed
with his demotion. One to ruin God's creation. And he tempted Adam and Eve. And Eve was deceived. Adam willfully chose to sin. People talk about free will, the freedom to choose. Adam used that freedom to choose evil. And from that time until now, man's will has been perverted. It's why men make wrong choices all the time. They do it because they've got a sinful, wicked, unholy, ungodly nature. This idea that, oh yeah, you got a bad heart, and your mind ain't right, but oh, your will, that's a little critter that's outside of everything and it can make the best of choices. That is a lie from hell. Your will has to be changed. If it's not, you're going to keep on rejecting Jesus Christ. The will of man, he is a free agent. Yes, he has the ability to choose. Problem is, with that sin nature, he always chooses against God. The only exception is when God overwhelms and overpowers his sinful will and changes them and gives them a will to trust Christ. So Adam used his free will, and it brought the entire human race into a state of sin. He rebelled against the law of God, and he not only brought spiritual death upon himself, but that would ultimately result in physical death. But his sin had the effect of bringing death and condemnation to all of his descendants. And that, the Romans 5 is really an exposition of federal headship. The federal headship of Adam is man's sinfulness that results in the judgment of God against that sin, and the federal headship of Christ, those that are in Christ receive the free gift of salvation, and grace reigns in them and through them throughout eternity. So you have all of mankind represented by two heads. Two federal heads. Sin is such an affront to God's holiness. It is such an insufferable crime that one sin, one act of deliberate rebellion, brought death and condemnation to the entire human race. We read the verse, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." How must God detest and hate sin? Now, the day that Adam and Eve sinned, the image of God that had been originally stamped upon him was shattered. That day, Adam died spiritually. As a result, I believe all men are tripart beings, body, soul, and spirit. But all men are born with a dead spirit, with no connection to God. In fact, it's so dead that the Holy Spirit must create a new man, a new nature, and impart to that lost sinner spiritual life, the life of God in the new birth. Because man's spirit is dead.
Adam was estranged and separated from God and ultimately banished from the Garden of Eden, forbidden to eat of the tree of life, which was guarded by the flaming swords and the holy cherubims. Now you think about that. God made a statement, gave a promise, and he followed it through. How many times have you warned your kids, if you do that, I'm going to do this, and you never follow through? Every one of us have done that. Now, some of you might think you're practically perfect, but you're not. We all have failed in that respect. Let me tell you, God's holy. When Adam sinned, God brought judgment upon him. Adam ran from God. Adam and Eve, they ran into the garden. They were ashamed of their nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves together to try and put them on their body to try to cover up themselves before God. They weren't thinking right from that time on. They ran away from God. That's the way that men are because of sin. They don't run to God. They run away from God. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none good. No, not one. This is what sin has done. The day that Adam sinned, he died spiritually and was completely separated from the grace and fellowship of God, and would have remained that way unless God came and said, Adam, where art thou? Well, I thought you said God knows and sees everything. He does. God knew exactly where Adam was. God wanted Adam to know where he was. Fallen. In a state of spiritual death. It was God that came seeking Adam. I believe he saved him. And it was typified the first blood shedding, where an innocent victim lost its life to clothe Adam and Eve. It depicts the teaching that we must have a qualified, innocent sacrifice offered on our behalf so that we can be right with God. And Adam and Eve, the Bible says, were clothed with the skins of animals. They taught that principle to their children. When you get into the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve had their first child, instead of Cain bearing the image of God, he bore the image of his sinful parents. Just like David would write later on in Psalm 51, in sin did my mother conceive me. You see, Cain was born with the depraved, sinful image of Adam and Eve, just like Romans 5:12 says. That death was passed on to all men. He was conceived in sin, born in sin, and Cain naturally followed a course of sin, a life of sin. He was spiritually dead, which is why he did not understand that the only way a sinner could approach God or be accepted by God was through the sacrifice of an innocent and blameless substitute. Sin not only brings death to the body, it brings death to man's spirit, his soul, his understanding. Now, God worked in Cain's brother, Abel, and he understood this principle. And that's why he brought a sacrifice unto God. And God acknowledged it and received it and commended Abel for offering that sacrifice in faith. Abel was recognizing, I can't approach God except by an acceptable sacrifice. Cain tried to approach God with his own works. He brought him a nice fruit basket. Here, look what I've done. I've gathered this all up. Some of this is from Pratt's greenhouse. It's really nice. Look at how wonderful this is. And God rejected it because it was the works of His hands. You boil down true and false religion. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. You will never be accepted in your sinful, rebellious state in the eyes of a holy God. You must come to Christ, who is God's only acceptable sacrifice. And every type, every shadow, every offering that was offered in the old, every bit of that pointed to the coming of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Well, you know what Cain did. Cain killed his brother Abel. He was so jealous. Cain was so jealous and envious that he hated his brother. And he took a rock and he killed him. Man, that was quite an uproar. In fact, I think that's where the first protest where they said they ought to outlaw rocks started way back there when the first murder occurred. That was all the rocks. If there weren't rocks around, then Abel would have never died. We've got to ban and get rid of these rocks. You say, oh, come on, preacher, you're just being silly. Yeah, that is silly. We know who killed Cain. Who killed Abel? Cain killed Abel. He was responsible for murdering his brother. It wasn't the rocks are inanimate objects. They have no life, no ability to kill on their own. It takes a willful, determinate, murderous, sinful heart to kill somebody. Cain committed the first act of murder. But you can trace the death of Abel back to the spiritual death of Adam in the Garden of Eden. The wages of sin is death. Spiritually and physically. Even though I'm saved, my sins have been put away, that I am completely forgiven, justified before God, I still have a sinful nature. And because of that, I'm going to die physically one day. Unless the Lord comes back. My body's dying. That digression of health happens all through life. The older you get, the more you feel how your body is decaying.
Yesterday I was cutting out, I hadn't done this in 3 or 4 years, those big old vines that get, I had, in our backyard we got these bushes that I hate mowing around. But in these bushes, man, I was cutting out vines and I started pulling them because they were up 30 feet in the air. Latched on to trees that were beyond our fence, on the fence rope. And I thought to myself, this is sin. My sin for not cutting them out earlier and allowing them to grow like that, but that's what sin does. It entangles, it enwraps, and overwhelms things. So I would cut it at the very root. And then I'd latch hold of that thing and I'd pull it. This is hard. Tug it as hard as I could. And I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh, but if I would have wanted to, I could have climbed on them things and went up a tree. That's how strong these vines were. I am pulling them. I see the tree at the top bending over because it's wrapped up around there. Well, you talk about a workout, man. Well, I got a hold of one of them, and I pulled that thing down, and the next thing I knew, if you can envision this fat preacher, I pulled that vine down. Those things are, vines are entangled all around me, around my feet, and I start, everything in our backyard is a hill, and I start running down the hill. I thought I was going to hit my face right on the side of our house. And I finally stopped myself, and I had those vines all tangled up. And I thought, I'm glad nobody but the Lord saw that. But sin, it separates you from God. And ultimately, it's going to result in physical death. And I'm reminded of that. The older I get, you become more aware of your mortality. Now, when Adam carried the lifeless body of his son to be buried, he was painfully reminded of sin and its consequences. The wages of sin is death. And from that day, that was the first human death when Abel died, or was murdered. From that day, death has reigned in all the fallen sons and daughters of Adam. Now remember the illustration about how a vine grows and corrupts and overwhelms everything. Go back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. It wasn't too long after the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that sin became so rampant. It says in verse 5 of Genesis 6, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Notice that. God looked at sin as the thoughts of their heart, as only evil continually. It was so bad, God determined to judge the world with a flood. He judged the entire earth by means of a worldwide flood, saving only 8 lives, Noah and his family who had built and entered the ark. Now every time you pick up a fossil, it ought to remind you that the wages of sin is death. Gavin, get me that water. I'm sitting right next to you. Come on up here, Gunga Din. Bless you, my son. My grandkids are a lot quicker than my son. The wages of sin and death is death. You pick up a fossil, it reminds you that God hates sin. That there are consequences for sin. That has plagued mankind our entire existence. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Ecclesiastes 12:14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Hosea 10:13, "Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity." Hosea 13:9, "O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help." Human nature, sinful man, is met with judgment. When he's dead spiritually, and if he dies without Christ, he's going to be plunged into hell. The wages of sin is death. Now, next Sunday, sin and its consequences. I want to show you the consequences of sin in relationship to Jesus Christ. And I think it'll magnify in your heart, your mind, how great God must love sinners. That even though they've ruined themselves, He has devised a way for them to be made right through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we'll look at that next Sunday, God willing. Let's all stand.